Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. My name is Scott McKenzie. This is where we celebrate the human power of industry, and I'm so glad that you are here. We got an incredible interview today with a gentleman by the name of Steve Miller. You can remember that name, but it's not the Steve Miller that you might know and the band. It's Steve Miller, the incredible author of Uncopyable, which is an incredible book that I highlighted last week, and we're going to expand upon that. So, jam-packed show, so let's get this project started, and thank you again. All right. Thank you again for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. I'm really just honored to be able to be a part of this whole industry. I love industry. I am your cheerleader. Of course, you know that, but nonetheless, let's get going.
Tailgate talk number one.
Okay, so we're creating this Industrial Academy, as I've alluded to a number of times, the Industrial Academy. It's still work in progress. We're still putting meat on the bones, but this is what happens. We highlight and we elevate those industrial trailblazers, those individuals that are making a difference in the industrial space. We create this training platform that highlights what they're doing. If you want to know about industrial leadership, boom, there's a program for you. If you want to know about operations, boom, there's a program for you, as well as sales and marketing, as well as finance and technology. It's going to all be out there, and it's going to highlight these trailblazers who have just this passion for industry. But the best part, the purpose of this particular platform is to be able to provide this cutting-edge educational platform to young individuals all across the world. It's free. So if you're down in Central America, boom, you can find stuff about industrial leadership right there, and it's a training program. It has meat on it. If you're down in Africa and you want to know more about, let's say, sales and marketing just because, boom, it's available to you free of charge, no big deal. You got an internet connection, you can access this information. If we're here as industrial professionals and we want to change the world and we want to, you know, spurn that passion and in the industrial world, this is what we can do. We can provide the educational platform that is free to these locations. No questions asked. So these individuals that will be highlighted in the Industrial Academy are just passionate about sharing their knowledge and insight into what makes them such an incredible trailblazer. So for me personally, I'm very honored.
Number two.
Okay, books. You know, I'm all about education. I'm all about constantly looking at books that bring in the opportunities, right? And this book right here that I've read, Blue Ocean Shift by W. Chan Kim, is right at the top. I read it, and what it really does is it just says, hey, you're in this market, you're doing the same thing, but I guarantee you it will change, and you better start thinking about blue ocean opportunities, other ways of being able to expand your market, right, into other opportunities. This gives you tactical steps on what that means. So that's Blue Ocean Shift, W. Chan Kim, good read, tactical stuff.
Number three.
Okay, I'm all about food, okay, and so I went to this place called Mugshots, and Mugshot says, hey, okay, we got this cheeseburger. Okay, and you're saying to yourself, cheeseburger, so what? Oh, no. Yeah, you got the bun. I mean, you got the meat, you got the cheese, and now they throw bacon on there. This is where it starts to get really interesting. Macaroni and cheese. So they say, okay, let's throw some macaroni and cheese on top of that. Boom. Okay, you're saying, wow, that's fantastic. Oh, no, the buns are two grilled cheese sandwiches. Boom. So you got your meat, cheese, bacon, macaroni and cheese, two grilled cheese sandwiches as your bun. I ate the whole thing, and I didn't feel guilty. Now, I didn't count the calories because I guarantee you it was over 20, but nonetheless, that is Mugshots. And it was incredible. I just fantastic. Now, here's a bonus one. So my office, I go to my office, there's a gentleman by the name of, what's his name? Cody. No, it's not Cody. I forget his name, but he's with Vigilante Coffee, right? Vigilante Coffee. He gives me a bag of Gishubi beans. He brews me up a coffee. And if you've ever had a premium roasted bean, it's incredible. And so this particular company, it's out of D.C., great bean. I just vigilante coffee. What can I say, man? It's been great.
Number four.
This is the last one here. Okay, I'm going to Barcelona on October 14th, and I'm going to be broadcasting for Reliability Radio at an IoT conference in Barcelona, Spain. How cool is that? I get to meet international industry leaders in Barcelona. So it's fantastic. So stand by, because we're going to be broadcasting some videos from that location. We're going to be doing some Facebook Lives just because we can. And because the town of Barcelona is gorgeous. Okay, so now on to the interview here. Look at that guy. So if you're out on YouTube, you can see the face right there. He is a great guy. He likes the color orange. And his book, of course, if you're on YouTube, there it is. It's orange too as well. It stands out like he stands out. And we talk about, because once again, I enjoy the fact that there is so much wisdom out there available for you as an industrial professional to be able to access, to be able to leverage in your career. This guy is no difference. Let me quote this. The harsh reality, and this is a truth. Being better than your competition isn't good enough anymore. Boy, it's both earth-shaking and depressing all in one, but opportunities, because here's a book that says you don't have to. You don't have to just sort of be a part of that. You've got to think differently, right? And so in his book, he says, you know, you have a better product? Everybody does. Better customer service? Everybody does. Better pricing? Of course. And so how do you, in this noise, get above all of that? So nonetheless, Steve Miller, not to be, you know, confused with the other Steve Miller, this guy is full of wisdom, full of insight, incredible energy. Me, personally, what an honor to be able to have him a part of the Industrial Talk podcast. So stay tuned. Here he is. He is the guy. His name is Steve Miller. He's a fantastic man. Here you go. Mm-hmm. Hey, Steve, how you doing? Welcome to the Industrial Talk podcast. So glad that you are able to make it and make time in your schedule to be here. Thank you.
Scott, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
This has been on the schedule for a little while. I'm excited, man.
I'm always excited to do a podcast, and you know, I've listened to a few of your other ones, and you know, you're a rocking dude on here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thank you very much. Everybody that's listening out there, I am a rocking dude. Please note that. And in fact, right. I'm going to trademark that one. Can I trademark that? No, I don't think
Please
I
do.
Oh, I
Please
cannot.
Do.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Very
yeah,
good.
Why not?
Hey, for the listeners out there, Steve, give us the 411 on who you are and where you come from, what makes you so spectacular, because we're going to dive into your book, because I think it's important for the industrial community to understand where you come from.
Yeah, well, actually, I kind of come from their background, really. You know, I call myself Kelly's dad, marketing gunslinger. Essentially, that means that I'm a consultant, professional speaker, and author in marketing and branding. And most of my business is done in the B2B world, manufacturing community, industrial community. My background goes back to, I have to kind of go back to even when I was a teenager in high school, because it kind of was kicked off by the fact that my dad, Ralph Miller, was the co-inventor of the 8-track tape player. Now, I recognize that some of your listeners are probably going to go, what the heck is he even talking about? But anyway.
That's a good one. That's a good one. You got me off guard on that one, man.
Yeah. Well, but what it was all about was that, you know, Dad got involved with a gentleman named Bill Lear, who was Learjet, building jets, who was driving around. Now, get this, all right? I want you to think about, he was driving a Chrysler that at that time had a turntable in it. Think about that.
The roads have better be soft.
I know people are like, what the hell is he talking about? So anyway, you know, you think about driving down the road, the needle skipping along. Oh,
absolutely. It better be smooth roads.
Not really practical, right? No. But he thought, it's a great idea to bring music, you know, bring your own music. And so he went out looking for somebody who was an audio specialist that he could finance, and he found my dad. And they, and together they kind of came up with the concept of the 8-track tape player, which basically changed the music industry. You know,
yeah, except you couldn't fast forward. You just could say change tracks. And then as a boy, I remember going, okay, on track one, I'm close. If I hit it three times, I can find that one song I like.
Yeah, but I, you know, if you wanted to listen to Spinning Wheel by Blood, Sweat, and Tears again, you had to keep driving around the block. So, but you know, one of the negatives of the 8-track. But when they were building the 8-track, and this is where, you know, at the time I didn't really realize the education I was getting. But when they were building the 8-track, they decided to build it in Japan so that they could save money on production and labor. But back in the 60s, made in Japan meant it was really a piece of crap. And,
it's true. You know, it's true. Yeah, boy, you're just, yeah. I mean, talk about the Wayback Machine. You're just putting me on the Wayback Machine. I forgot all about that, but you're right.
Yeah.
It's made in Japan. No, it's not good.
And the way it was, and so the way my whole brain and the way I started thinking was kickstarted was that they brought in W. Edwards Deming to help build quality into the product before they manufactured it. So I was sitting at the feet, you know, Dad would take me out on some trips with those guys. Despite the fact that I hated being on the road with three old guys, because I was a teenager. I know I'm exactly who I hated. And, you know, so I started to learn something about total quality management, and in particular, the thing that he called benchmarking. And, you know, and so once I started to learn from him about benchmarking later, it was interesting how later on in life, as I got into sales and marketing, and when in my last real job was for a Japanese toy company that made, it was the world's largest manufacturer of radio control toys. And so I was in charge of all sales and marketing for the company, but it also meant that I had to be involved in production because I was developing products with them and figuring out how to make these things. And fortunately, with the background of my dad, and I also studied some engineering in college before I switched to physics, which are obviously very important for your marketing background.
It gives you a unique perspective, I guess.
It does. Yeah, it gives you a unique perspective. And that was kind of the whole thing was that. So throughout all of that, it's exactly what you just said. In between, I tried some other stuff. Like I tried to play on the PGA golf tour. I was a pretty good golfer, but I didn't make that. So like you say, these different experiences gave me a different perspective on things.
Yep.
And so as I got involved with sales and marketing with companies, I started to notice that most companies, and in particular, because of my background with manufacturing, I got involved with, you know, industrial manufacturing companies. I started noticing that besides the fact that most, I'm going to say it as gently as possible. When it comes to sales and marketing, most manufacturing companies, they kind of suck.
I think it's epidemic. I have to agree with you on that one. Continue. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I agree with you.
Yeah. I don't say that as an insult. I say it because what I'm saying is that most people in the industrial world really have not been taught the correct way to go about marketing.
Their focus is a bit different. Their attention to other items with it, it's just different. I think you bring a great message to that.
Well, and that's it's different compared to the outside world.
Yep.
But inside the box, and this is where you know we've all heard the term you should get out of the box, but nobody's ever said to you what the box is. And what I tell people is, and in this particular case, you say, all right, if you are in the industrial community, you're in the industrial box. That's where you are.
And it's a pretty stout box.
And it is a stout box. No question about it.
But you're living
together and you're all speaking the same language. You're all going to the same conventions, trade shows. You're reading the same magazines, the same books. Yep. And where do you get ideas for marketing? You get ideas from studying each other. And so it develops into this strategic orthodoxy. And the idea of marketing, you know, the bottom line is marketing's purpose is to separate you from the competition, not just to make you a better choice, but to make you a choice that they will want to make. They want to work with you for the rest of the rest of the time that the two companies are together, right? And so most companies are not looking at it that way. They're looking at, you know, oh, they make a you know, they've got a CNC machine that does 5,000 widgets an hour, right? All right, we'll do one that does 8,000 widgets an hour. Okay, well, that's great. It's better until
somebody does 10,000.
That's exactly right.
And it's a race to the bottom in a sense, but continue.
Because it becomes a price race.
It does. You commoditize it. In your book, you say commoditization. I've lived there, and I don't like it.
No, we all have. And once I started to realize that I had this interesting back, I started to see things differently. I started to say, okay, if I'm gonna be in this manufacturing world, and I'm gonna compete with other, you know, B2B companies, well, what's the number one thing that I want to do? I don't want to do what they're doing.
You don't. Okay?
That was the number one thing. So by having this, and so what I teach people, and this is what the basic concept of my book Uncopyable is about, is that better is not good enough. Competition does not breed innovation; it breeds conformity. And you know that what we have to do is we have to force ourselves to go out, to climb outside of our box and build a new box that's just for us. But our new box breaks the rules, you know, of marketing and branding and things like that.
But you know as well as I do, in the industrial world, that breaking of rules, that looking out, that innovation, we're very good at innovating new technology. But once again, to your point, Steve, our innovation when it comes to marketing, branding, and changing that model, there's a lot of room for improvement.
Yeah, no question about it. No question about it. They have to, you know, but the first thing they got to recognize is, look, if you want to be successful and you want to be around for another 20 years or longer, you better start thinking like this.
Especially
because
today.
The graveyard is filled with your competitors and I mean companies from the industry. We all know that.
My statement here, Steve, is if you're not in the game, if you're not looking at innovation as a way of marketing and branding and really differentiating yourself today, you're going to be irrelevant tomorrow, and I guarantee you your customers are going to be doing it, and you're going to be irrelevant. And the speed at which technology is evolving is blinding fast.
Right.
It's amazing. I'm going to segue into your company's Adventure LLC.
The Adventure LLC, yeah.
Tell us just a little bit, and then we're going to go into your book because I want to really expand about it.
That's one of those pivots that I took back growing up. After I came out and didn't make any money off the PGA Tour, I actually was a stuntman in Hollywood for a short time.
And what haven't you done? You've got the association with A-Track Tape, which is impressive.
Yeah. My friends think I'm Forrest Gump. You know, growing up, they just go, guys, the craziest stuff has happened to you, you know? And I always used to say, you know, it's easy to say, wow, look at all these experiences, right?
Right.
And I say, the bottom line is I couldn't keep a job. Yeah, you know,
you're living the dream, looking. Baby. You're living the dream.
Yeah. Stunts were fun. But there's an old saying that, you know, there are bold stunt people and there are old stunt people, but there are no bold old stunt people. So I got out of there pretty fast,
reasons.
Yeah. But my friends used to call me Captain Adventure. And so when I started my business, I thought I am not going to call it Miller and Associates. I just have no interest in doing that. It's you know, for me, if it's not, you know, I'm a marketing gunslinger. I'm Kelly's dad. You know, when the Wall Street Journal interviews me and they go, "What's your title?" I go, "Kelly's dad." You know, marketing gunslinger. They hate that.
Yeah, I can imagine. And you gave me your headshot, and you got some great looking glasses. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I like it a lot. Okay, let's shift gears here.
I don't have those here, but I've got these. So see, I've got my other glasses. Yeah, orange is everywhere. Orange is my color.
Yeah, there it is, man.
There it is.
Even your book is orange.
It's orange. Yeah, it's one of the. It's one of the things. You know, it's one of the things that I teach companies too. Is I say that, in particular, when you're looking at small companies, who I think need to pay a lot closer attention to their branding proposition and what they're branding. And I'm not saying just their icon, but I'm saying that, you know, my promise to people is I'm going to help you succeed by being, you're going to be uniquely and valuably different than the competition. And I'm going to help you, the phone is going to ring. That's what the idea is people are calling you. So I say, I'm going to teach you how to be uncopyable. And then I say, And then I kill them with orange, right?
Do you have a Dutch background? Because that's a big color in the country, Netherlands.
And it was in Turkey or where was it anyway when they had that big uprising. But there's no connection to the color orange, other than I had my daughter pick the color when she was 2 years old. So what I tell people is, look, here's what, every time you see the color orange, you have to think to yourself, am I being uncopyable? You know, or, you know, can I steal an idea from here or something like that? So I tell companies, and after a while, and it doesn't take very long, and I hear this all the time, people will say, I cannot look at the color orange without thinking of you.
Well, that's pretty smart.
Yep. And that's why I say color is a great tool to use in your branding. Own a color, and then just murder your market with that color.
It has to be more than gray, right?
Yes. It can't be the color and it can't be IBM blue either. You know, it's like, you know, in the tech world, everybody thinks their colors have to be IBM blue. And I always say, you know, when I go to a high tech trade show, if I were allergic to blue, I'd be dead in the first aisle.
Yeah.
You know, which means everybody looks alike, everybody acts alike. I don't want to look like them. I want to look different. I want to be different. And I want my clients to understand that they have to break out of that heuristic, you know, in their head where, oh, but I have to wear a coat and tie to be professional. And, oh, I have to have blue. You know, and oh, I have my title has to be, you know, chief marketing officer. Now, where is that? Where are these rules written?
Okay, Steve, we're going to have to take a break right now, and we're coming up on a hard break. We got to leave some room for some sponsors, but we're going to expand upon uncopyable. First off, you're going to have to explain a little bit about what that word means, and then we're going to venture into your book because I think it's important. Okay,
let's do that.
Is that a deal? All right. Absolutely. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. We will be right back. Thank you for joining.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. The Industrial Talk Podcast has a new sponsor by the name of ASG Energy. Now, this company helps private companies as well as public organizations of all sizes reduce energy costs through the use of commercial LED lighting technology and electrical services. Now, you know me. I'm a big fan of LED just because, well, first off, I don't have to change the lights, but on a commercial basis, oh my gosh, the energy savings is phenomenal. The reduction in maintenance costs, phenomenal. Return on investment, quick. It's incredible. And the environmental benefits, self-explanatory. So, you have any questions about LED commercial lighting? You need to check out my friends at ASGEnergyLLC.com. Find out more because they know what they're doing. So check them out. All right, welcome back to the Industrial Talk Podcast. We are talking to Steve Miller. He is the author of Uncopyable. And I got to tell you, man, I'm enjoying this conversation. And offline, we had a couple of other conversations that were pretty spectacular. So, you listeners out
there.
Well,
okay, let's make sure we clear this up. I am not, I do not fly like an eagle. All right, but
No,
you know, and I'm not a space cowboy. Although I've been called similar.
Man, see, you got all those 8-track tape references, that, man. I'm telling
yes,
you,
that's well, there you go.
But it's all good, man. It's all good. Okay, all good. So let's start expanding. You've wet our whistles. For me personally, I love the topic. I can appreciate it. And I believe, Steve, that the industrial world is in need of this information, this content, this meat, because we've got to evolve as an industry to go beyond our go out fishing, play golf, do that the typical stuff specifically, and I'm passionate about it, Steve, how to fill that funnel, how to create, because I believe, and I wouldn't do this if I didn't believe, but I believe that the industrial businesses, we have a great opportunity to truly, and we have been, truly impact the world for the better. We can change the world. Yet we are reluctant to change. We are reluctant to embrace. And some of this stuff, you know, yeah, it's not that fun, but nonetheless, it has to happen. Your book, Uncopyable, How to Create an Unfair Advantage Over Your Competition, is intriguing.
Yeah.
Expand upon that. Give us sort of that premise behind that title.
Yeah, I've even, you know, and of course I've had some people say, gee, that's kind of a brutal brutal title, right? Unfair Advantage. And I'm going, you know what? Hey. This is not grade school, right? we're not all going to get participant trophies.
Yeah, we're big, you know, girls and boys. We it's important.
There are winners and losers in the game that we play.
Absolutely.
And the winners get to go play golf at nice country clubs and go out for nice dinners and stay in nice hotels, and the losers, they get to go find another job. And so I say, look, I am not interested in being just better than the competition. I want to bury my competition. Not illegally, not unethically, none of that stuff. I just want to be, I just want to put, you know, put them to bed and, you know, and then I win. Because the thing is, and that, like we were talking about earlier, is that this idea of conformity, and that every industry is guilty of this, whether it's retail industry or, you know, the industrial industry we're talking about, you know, the B2B world and manufacturing and things. Every one of them has its own, they have their own commonality, their own common rules. And
yeah,
stuff.
Because we're resistant to one, change and risk. We don't like risk. And if somebody's already blazed the trail in it, it's okay. He didn't or she didn't get her head cut off.
Yeah.
I guess that's a great path to go down.
And it's safer, you know, as you said. It's safer to do that. You know, you don't want to take big risks, okay? And yet that's not the way – the world is not – we're not going to succeed by – and I hate to say this, you know, because it was Deming who also talked about incremental improvement. Well, it's all well and good to have incremental improvement in say, some core operations or core parts of your business. But if you want to beat the competition – incremental improvement is going to lose. You have to look for ways to be not just better than the competition, but you have to be vastly superior in unique ways. So a real simple way of describing it is, I say, like, when the lightning bolt comes out of the sky, mm-hmm. and strikes a prospect or a customer in their head, and they go, oh my gosh, I need this solution, right?
Right.
Do they think of you first? Do they think of you second? Do they think of you at all? Now, my objective is I'm the only one they think about. You know, there is no other solution, because if they come up with a list of three, it means they think that we're pretty similar to each other. And so then what ends up happening is we come up with a product that pretty much, and most companies will admit this, they tell me this today all the time, is that they know their products are commodities. You know, they're building machines, they're building, plants and stuff, but the actual products themselves are commodities, and they know that. So then they say that they don't want to compete on price. So then they say that they have the world's best customer service. Everybody says they have the world's best customer service.
Against what? What's the benchmark? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and yeah, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
The world's best customer service. I don't even know. I'm not really sure what that means.
World's
exactly.
best coffee. The world's best, I don't know.
Yeah, water. Car. Best, yeah. You know, best spin, you know, spin thing.
That's it.
I don't know.
Exactly right.
And so then ultimately the decision does come down to price. So when I say, yeah. you know, see, for me, it's like, okay, we have to have a great product. We have to have a product that does what we say it's going to do, that it has high quality. We have to have that. That's the ante to be in the game. We have to have great customer service. That's the ante to be in the game today. That's what technology has forced us to do. So in order to not compete on price, we have to recognize that we need to have a fourth element. And that fourth element is, how do we make ourselves uncopyable? What else can we deliver to the customer that is valuable? And I talk about, you know, I have a whole bunch of examples in my book, but I talk about three basic strategies that I say that you can do one or more than one. And the more you do, the better off you have. You know, the first one is, I call it the branding strategy, you know, the uncopyable branding strategy. And, you know, an example of an uncopyable branding strategy would be something like Harley Davidson. And Harley Davidson, you hear about them a lot in a lot of business books, but not really from this perspective. And the perspective is that Harley Davidson, the bottom line is, Harley Davidson does not sell motorcycles. The motorcycle is great. It's good enough. People are happy with their bikes, but they don't buy a motorcycle. They buy the community. They buy going out and hanging out with people, you know, up in Sturgis, and riding with their friends on weekends. And the best description of that came from, I heard an executive for Harley being interviewed, and somebody said something along the lines of, well, you know, how do you separate your motorcycles from everybody else's? And he said, oh, you don't understand. What we sell is the ability for a 43-year-old accountant to dress in black leather, ride through small towns, and have people be afraid of him. That's what they
say. There is a level of cool. You're absolutely correct. I like that a lot. You're absolutely spot on.
So that's a branding proposition. So now what they say is, all right, now we're going to do branding stuff that is going to support that, right? And so they got the black, you know, you got the leather jackets, they got the parties, they got all the cool stuff. And people have tattoos.
They got a lot of swag out there. I'm telling you right now, a bunch of swag.
But it's not swag that makes you look all sporty or anything like that. You look tough. You know, you look angry. You look like, you know, somebody that people should stay away from. That's what it is. So that's the, you know, so branding is one way to do it. The second way to do it is by creating the uncopyable experience. And you see that everywhere.
By the way, this is chapter 3 in your book, by the way.
Okay.
It is.
Is that how far in we are?
Yeah. You're in chapter 3, my friend.
Okay.
I'm following you.
Good. Yeah. we're just going to go through the whole book. So, you know, then you got the experience, the uncopyable experience. And the uncopyable experience is, and I use the American Girl store as the example. Now, I don't know if you have any daughters.
We lived at the store when she was much younger, and we climbed the steps, and we experienced the American Girl.
Well, let's start with the fact that it's just a doll store. Okay. It's just what it's all about. It's selling a doll. But what did they do? Because I'm like you. When my daughter was 10 years old, I cashed in some frequent flyer miles. We flew to Chicago and we spent 7 hours in a doll store. For gosh sakes.
It's immense too. It's
and you leave coin. Oh, you leave do. Coin. Because around that doll, they've created an experience where number one, they had historical dolls that were historically accurate with books that educated our daughters on like mine was the American Revolution. My daughter's was that. So she knew more about the American Revolution than I ever did. And then they had the restaurant where the restaurant, You had to call up 3 or 4 months in advance to get a reservation in the restaurant. It was a sit-down restaurant. They would give etiquette lessons to the girls while they were in the restaurant. Then they had the hair salon, right, where the dolls need to have their hair done. And so they could go get their dolls' hair done. And American Girl dolls don't break. They get sick. And so when they get sick, you have to take them to the hospital. So they have a hospital there in the store. And when your doll comes in and they need to take it back into the back to get healed, they have a little wheelchair, for the doll and stuff. So you see, that's an experience where they've taken a doll and they've now wrapped it in this incredible experience. And like I say, people leave coin in there when you spend the time.
So what we have is we got the branding strategy. You gave us the example of Harley Davidson, which is an exceptional. And then we've got experience, of course, right. The American Girl. And I think the last one, of course, is stealing genius.
Yeah, the uncopyable innovation, where you really want to get – this is where you get – ideas to be innovative, not to be better. Innovation is new. It's something brand new. A really good idea of this is that the way you get new ideas is not from your own world. But am I hearing thunder?
You are. So much for my
cool.
Studio. Oh yeah.
That's
yeah.
Cool.
It's right outside, man. It's slapping the ground right next to me.
Cool.
I was hoping of like, oh, I hope that's not picking it up.
Yeah, it sounds great. It's got
soundproof when it comes to lightning.
we are pounding this thing into the into your head.
There you go.
So stealing genius. This is where you get new ideas, and here is that in order to come up with a new idea. Brainstorming is really hard. Brainstorming is very hard to do. You sit down with people and you got your flip chart and you say, okay, what new ideas can we come up with to help market our company? And everybody just stares at each other, for 10 or 15 minutes. And then finally somebody says something really brilliant like, well, ABC Widgets, they did this. We could do something like that, but a little bit better. Right. And it goes right back to where now you're not brainstorming. You're just doing what the other guys are doing. And so the way you come up with new ideas is you have to leave your planet and go to another planet and study the aliens in that planet. And like in this world of the industrial community, one thing I've been very, very successful with is I will take them on field trips, and two places like the American Girl store, right? And I will and I actually took Caterpillar to the American Girl store in Chicago, and they spent 2 hours in there taking notes and taking pictures and all this, so that they could go back and look for new ways to create a better a connection with their customers and also the end users of the cats and the machinery that they were building. So so they looked for ways to like, oh, a restaurant, how can we steal that idea? Oh, a beauty salon, how can we take an idea of a beauty salon? Well, the guys like they would actually go out and create men's styling. I mean men's barbershops, right? But they would have them with sports. They would have them with big screens. They would do all this. They would do this at a trade show, for example. And so they would be stealing these ideas from a doll store, but they would take it back and adapt them into the world of heavy equipment. You can see stuff like this all the time. I took Delphi Automotive, took them to the Apple store one time.
That's an experience.
The Apple cool. store. And when you go in, you see, we've all been there, right? But we go in and we go, oh, this is cool. Let me go find the geniuses and stuff like that. So, but at Delphi, they decided, oh, you know what? We can help our customers and primarily the customer's customer by, sort of stealing the genius bar idea. And also by not kill, you know, if you go into an Apple store, one thing that you are not going to see is you are not going to see signage everywhere. You're not going to see, you know, big sale signs. You're not going to see the walls are filled with, they're filled with pictures. And they let the pictures tell the story. In fact, the only words you will see on the wall at an Apple store are Genius Bar.
See, what's interesting, and you pointed out, they're never in the game of racing to the bottom on margin. They retain and maintain their margin because they have a premium product, and they market it as a premium product. And therefore, they never really have to have that conversation of being the winner to the bottom. And you don't want to be that.
Yep, and I'll give you a recent example of a company that's doing that right now, and that's Starbucks. You know, you talk about the race to the bottom. You know, Starbucks comes out. They come out with the $5 cup of coffee, whatever it is, right? Well, then all these other companies start coming out and competing with them, including somebody like McDonald's, who says, gee, you can, you know, we'll give you a nice latte for a dollar.
Yep.
Okay, so does Starbucks, you know, the typical response would be, oh, let's ride that. Let's get into that race to the bottom, right?
Where somebody's market share. What do we have to do? Let's get that market share back.
Yeah. They decided, no, we're not going to do that. They went the complete opposite direction. And now they're starting to build what are called Starbucks roasteries around the world. There aren't a lot of them out yet, but these are unbelievable. I was in the one in Shanghai. I was giving a speech in Shanghai a couple months ago, and they had a roastery there. It's 10,000 square feet, right?
Wow.
Guess what it is? It's the American Girl store for coffee.
Yeah.
Right? You go in there and it's so many different ways to experience coffee, to learn how to, you know, make the best coffee, your tea. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. And, you know, you just go in there and I just say, oh, look, I'm looking at this is the American Girl store. And that might be exactly where they got the idea from, actually.
Okay, hold on to that thought. We're going to be coming right back. I want to dive into what industrial companies can deploy today, Steve. How's that?
Okay.
Hey, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast and listening to the thunder that's right outside the studio. Hope that's not much of a distraction. Boy, it's pouring raining out there too. So anyway, thank you. Hang tight. We'll be right back. Hey, once again, this is Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk. If you like what you're listening to, please feel free to sign up for the free podcast as well as the blogs. I'll try to keep it all relevant to your business and hopefully be able to provide some insight into what we do at Industrial Talk and what you do as a professional. Hope to see you soon. Thank you. All right. Welcome back again to the Industrial Talk podcast. You know that I'm the voice of industry. I'm enjoying this position because I get to interview people like Steve Miller. He's amazing. I like the topic that he has brought to our attention, the content that he brings to this podcast. Steve, let's dive right into it. We've only got a few more minutes to sort of enjoy. We've got three things. We've got that branding strategy, that experience, and these are uncopyable innovation, experience, branding strategies. I'm an industrial company. I'm small, maybe mid-size, and I like what you're saying. What do I need to do? What is that step I need to do?
Let me give you, here's how I always recommend that people start. The first thing to do is to ask yourself a simple question. What do I want to be uncopyable at? Or where do I want to get ideas on being uncopyable? And just pick something in your company. And it might be marketing. It might be sales. It might be production. It might be hiring. You know, you and I have talked about the fact that we both know that finding good employees is really hard. It's really, really hard. Mm-hmm. So like, let's say we take that for example, and we say, what is it, you know, who is not having trouble finding, you know, good employees? And it might be somebody like Disney. It might be somebody like Apple. It might be somebody, you know, I mean, those are great examples right there. And then I would say, all right, I would go and find out what is it that they're doing? Now, it's easy for us to say, oh, they're sexy. You know, those industries are sexy. You know, every industry is sexy. to somebody, right? But a big part of that is that you you are looking for ways to provide like for millennials, for example. One of the things millennials want to know is, if I need to go, if I've got some friends who are visiting in town, you know, how easy is it for me to be able to get off early and blah, blah, blah. I mean, just something as simple as that.
Yeah.
And so like my daughter works for Callaway Golf Corporation, and they have a great, great thing that in addition to your normal, paid days off, right. You also have these special moments where you can go to a boss and you can say, hey, can I get a special moment? I don't know what exactly they call it, right? But it's something like that. You know, my dad's coming to town, and I don't have any extra time left on my thing. Can I get a special moment? And then they go, yeah, okay, sure. You know, here you go, have a special moment. Or if you do something special, if you do something really well at the office, she said that they'll give her a certificate that'll give her that special moment, right? That okay, here you go, you get an extra day, day off. These things are designed for millennials.
Yeah.
This type of an approach. Most of us are saying, God, millennials, we're looking at millennials from a negative perspective. That oh gosh, they don't have the work ethic, they don't have all this sort of stuff. That's baloney.
It is.
They are good workers, but they have different values, than a lot of us had growing up. And you know what? I say, good for them. You know, my daughter is just as concerned about quality of life as she is about, being good at her job. So you could steal that idea from Callaway, for example, and go back, and now you start to embrace that in your company, and it's totally different from what your competition is doing. See what I'm saying?
Right.
Is that I'm taking the idea from a golf equipment company. So like I say, you can do the same thing with, say, marketing or sales or something like that. That you say, all right, I want to do better at sales. Well, outside of your industry, what companies would you say are the best at sales? And go study them. Go study what they do and ask yourself, what can I steal and bring back into my business?
Or you could say, what can I borrow? No,
I like to steal. I was working with a company in the Christian industry, and they said, we can't say that.
borrow, acquire a little bit. Yeah. Can we just borrow it a little bit?
we'll give it back. I say, give it back. Uh-uh. But you are stealing it, so don't argue with me.
Yeah. No. You're absolutely right. And we what was that quote? Something about it being we're successful on the back of geniuses, because they're the ones that really sort of blazed the trail and thought outside the box. And those examples exist everywhere.
Everywhere. And the thing to also remember is that what people are doing now that is common, at one time it was brand new.
Yeah, that's right. Look, we're on the podcast right now, and I got to tell you, that's unique. Yeah. But nonetheless, I really like that. Now, we got to wrap it up here. How do people get a hold of you, Steve? And by the way, your name, Steve Miller?
Yes.
There's a lot of other people who are named Steve Miller, Stephen Miller, Stephen P.H. Miller.
What?
It's so... I don't want the listeners to be frustrated. How do they get a hold of you in a way that is simple, direct, and straightforward?
Well, let's start with this. I would love for everybody to get my book.
Right there, baby. Uncopyable.
Yeah,
it's in orange.
Go on Amazon, get my book, read the first two chapters. If you don't like it, throw it away. But I think the first two chapters will convince you to keep reading, and you're going to get some great stuff out of it.
Yeah, it looks good. I liked it.
And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Because you already mentioned once, Scott, the name of my company is The Adventure, right? The Adventure LLC.
LLC.
So my website is obviously theadventure.com. One word, theadventure.com. But I'm going to do something for you guys. I haven't done this in a while, but I'm going to do this right now. You go buy my book
Yeah.
on Amazon.
Yep.
then send forward your receipt to me.
Okay.
At stevemiller@theadventure.com.
Got it.
And then you say, hey, Steve, here's the receipt. You know, give me something free. And so I will give you one of my products. And I'll even give you your choice. You can tell me, I have a product that's all about uncopyable content marketing. And I have one that is put your marketing on autopilot. Right.
Okay.
Both are great products. And they both retail for $197, which you can see on my website that's what they sell for.
And that
and
website,
I will
once again,
give it to you.
Yeah. Okay.
I will give it to you.
Get out of here. That's a fantastic deal. I really appreciate it. I'm going to put that out on the website. And once again, it's Steve Miller. That's STEVEMILLER at theadventure.com.
Yep. Yep.
That's pretty doggone good. And in the book, there's also a reference to uncopyablethebook.com.
Right. And you can, and there's some free stuff in there for you as well.
Well,
all right. I want people to read my book. I think this, I think the subject is so important. I am absolutely, crazy about helping companies to separate themselves from the crowd.
Off the charts, my friend. I agree with you. I really enjoyed the book. I enjoyed the information. I enjoyed the content. I'm going to deploy some of the principles in my business, of course.
Yeah, steal them.
I'm going to steal them. I'm going to borrow them. Now, this is fantastic. Yeah. And I think, listeners, you got to get that book. Go out there. Once again, Uncopyable, How to Create Unfair Advantage over Your Competition. That's important. Right. And I'm going to have all this information out there on industrialtalk.com. So no excuses.
Wicked awesome.
Make it
Wicked
happen.
Awesome.
Okay?
Yeah, great.
Hey,
awesome.
Steve, thank you very much. I appreciate you joining the Industrial Talk podcast. Listeners, hang tight. We're going to wrap it up after this break. So thank you very much once again for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, let's put a bow on that particular interview. That's Steve Miller. You got to get his book out there. You know, he's with Adventure LLC. Adventure LLC. If you're out there on YouTube, Uncopyable, How to Create an Unfair Advantage Over Your Competition. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. Remember, I want you to go to Mugshots, get that burger. You will not be disappointed. That is industrial approved food. And you also got to get that Blue Ocean Ship, incredible book. Open up that market, right? Open up that market. And then finally, Industrial Academy. You want to be a part of those trailblazers? Get in contact with me. And you can get in contact with me at industrialtalk.com. I'm out there on Facebook. I'm out there on LinkedIn. I'm out there on Twitter. I'm out there everywhere. If you can't find me, well, you're not trying hard enough because I'm out there. Get in contact with me. Thank you again. We're going to be here next week because, doggone it, we got another interview that's going to happen. So thank you very much. Be safe. And always continue to try to build that market and be here to learn from the greatest leaders within the industrial space. So thank you. Have a great week. And we'll talk later.